Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the winds was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word into all that surrounded, went into all that surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they implored him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were cured.
Good morning. Welcome. We're so happy that you're here this morning for our worship time together and our gathering. We've got lots of folks that are here because of the time of the season, people that have traveled from long distances to be with family and friends. And so we say to everyone this morning, Merry Christmas. Let me begin this morning with a prayer as we begin our time in the Word. Let's bow together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that one day we will rise, and we know that because Jesus rose first. But Father, before he ascended, he descended to this world. He came to this world and was born as a small infant and laid in a manger. And even the wisest of men traveled from far distances to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords bearing their gifts. So Father, this morning we assemble together once again on this first day of the week. And we come and we lay our gifts at your feet as our Lord and as our Savior. At this time in the year, Father, our Lord, we come to you and we confess that in our haste, we often rush past people that are in the most of your need. Forgive us of our short-sightedness. Forgive us of our gruffness. Forgive us of our hurriedness. Forgive us for being short with each other, and help us to recommit this morning, realizing, Father, that Jesus came to be our Savior, but to also to call us to follow in His steps. So help us as we interact with each other in the next few days, especially to follow in the steps of Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit, this morning to make what is unfamiliar understandable and to make what is familiar strangely fresh. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. So it's that time of year where there's wonderful things happening. There are gifts under trees. There are family and friends that have been gathered together around the warmth of togetherness and good food. And it is also the time of year when there are lots of holiday movies. Maybe you've been binging on holiday movies like some people, but or maybe you've gone to the theater to see maybe a blockbuster movie, or maybe you saw, as I did, the long-awaited sequel. You thought I was going to say Star Wars, didn't you? I saw that one and I saw it twice, and it's really good. But maybe you were waiting, if you're of a younger generation, maybe you were waiting for the long-awaited sequel to the Disney movie, Frozen. In that movie, the lovable and naive snowman, Olaf, presents a key plot point to the movie. Now, this is not scientific, but according to this little snowman, water has memory. And throughout the movie, they fashion the entire narrative around this concept, this fanciful idea that somehow water retains memory of all of the events that the water has interacted with over time and all of the people that the water has come in contact with. I want to adopt this fanciful idea of the memory of water and take it as a creative and artistic device this morning as we travel along with water this morning and the memories that it just might take with it. Water's first memory. Long ago, chaos and darkness was all there was. In a primeval ocean that covered the surface of the deep, of the unformed globe upon which you now live. But like a dove fluttering over her nest, the Bible says in Genesis 1 and verse 2 that the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. And then the one who is superior to all of creation spoke order over the chaos. And it was then that water learned its first lesson in the beginning. That despite all of its power to conjure storms and winds and waves, water learned who the true king of the universe is. Let me stop there just a moment. If you're just joining us, we're in the middle of a rather lengthy sermon series where we're walking together through the gospel story in the book of Matthew in a series called King Jesus. And this morning, we're ready for Matthew chapter 14. And it might seem rather strange that on the Sunday before Christmas that our key lesson text would be Jesus walking on the water. But I think you'll see this morning that water learned that lesson early on about who the true king is. Whenever the Spirit of God fluttered over the surface of the deep in Genesis chapter 1. Water has been present even at every birth. Inside of the womb, water has nestled every human baby. But this time, it was different. For water felt the presence of the same Spirit that had hovered over the surface of the deep is fluttering yet again over this womb. In the womb that should not carry a baby, because she had never known a man and was a virgin. And yet, water in this womb that should not carry a baby receives the king. And water splashes on the floor of a stable And water hears the first cries of a baby being laid in a manger. And water receives the knees on that stable floor of wise men that have come from the east to bow before an infant, but an infant king. Water has always known its power to purify and to cleanse. Because water throughout human history has bathed, it has laundered, it has been used for sacred cleansings. But water would be surprised yet again when the feet of something cleaner and more pure than itself would step into the current of the Jordan River. Water yet again senses the presence, the hovering over the surface of the waters of the Spirit of God. As Jesus comes forth from the baptismal waters of Jordan, the Spirit of God descends upon that baptismal place, and a strong voice from heaven speaks forth, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that day, with a crowd on the banks of the Jordan River, the King is anointed by the power of the Spirit, and He is crowned as being the true Son with a voice from heaven. Water is placed in jars on a day of great celebration, because wine is needed for this celebration at the wedding feast in Cana. But the wine has run out. So will water be enough for this day? A powerful creative hand waves over the jars, and suddenly the water begins to sparkle and shimmer and glisten, being transformed into wine. There is indeed something to celebrate that day in Cana. But it's not just the bride and the groom. Because you see, prophets long ago had predicted that when the Messiah would come on the scene, His arrival would be pictured with the joy and the abundance of flowing wine and banquet imagery. Water being turned to wine was a sign that demonstrated the reception of the King. Crowds began to surround Jesus, and those crowds were growing. His parables fascinated some people and infuriated others. And the opposition to Jesus and His teaching was growing, especially on the political scene. It was becoming more hostile. And in Matthew chapter 14, in the opening verses, we find that news comes to Jesus that Herod Antipas, the Roman governor of Galilee, has killed John the Baptist, the one that had announced the coming of the King. What would this mean for Jesus and His followers? Jesus retreats to the water shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds follow Him. And it is there with compassion that He miraculously feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as a result, Matthew doesn't tell us this in Matthew 14, but John does in John chapter 6. At the result of Jesus feeding these people, miraculously, the crowd of 5,000 men alone. The crowds say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world," and they intend to take Jesus by force and make Him their king. You see, the people have received Jesus for what He is, the King. And then Jesus does the most unexpected thing. Matthew has been giving us this story throughout his gospel record that Jesus is the true King. the King of all kings, the true and better King. And yet, when the crowds come to ascend Jesus to the throne, he sends them away. He puts his disciples in a boat, launches the boat into the sea, and Jesus alone goes up into the mountainside to pray. Jesus is the King, but not the kind of King they were expecting. Water has great power. In the middle of the night, the waves crash against the ship holding Jesus' apostles in the middle of Galilee's sea. The water's anger has returned, and chaos has ensued as they strain against the oars. The fishermen on board knew water's power all too well, and yet they are overwhelmed by the deluge. And water's fist begin to batter the boat as the travelers are tormented and tortured by the crashing waves of the storm in the early waking hours of the morning. Amid their terror comes an even more haunting sight. Riding above the waves is a ghostly figure in the night. But then a comforting and familiar voice comes skipping across the water. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." It is Jesus walking above the waters. And he invites Peter to step out on the water too. But water knows how to bring a storm. Water knows how to drown. Water knows how to pull you down underneath and overwhelm you. But this is Jesus. He reaches out his hand and takes Peter's and pulls him back on top of the waters once more. Because this is the King of creation. And he rises above every storm. He pulls people out of the water because the waves and the winds obey his will when he speaks the words, "Peace, be still." This is Jesus. Water has received its King. We've got a crowd of people here today, and there's lots of different things happening in the lives of each one of us. And I don't know where this sermon finds you, but it may find you in a place in your life where you feel like you're in over your head. You may come today with Christmas in your heart, but life over your head. Storms may have come to your life. It may have been a stormy week. It may have been a stormy year. And you may have felt all too well the anger of the water. But I want you to know today and be sure that water knows who the King is. And in the words of a recent worship song that you may have heard, "Let my soul go and trust in Him. Go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and the winds still know His name." I don't know if there's any scientific truth to Olaf's theory that water has memory. But on a spiritual plane, you better believe it, that all of creation knows His name. And the water remembers the one who put the storms in their place. So this morning, trust that Jesus is the King, and He is the Lord over the storm, the one who walks above the waters, the one who speaks peace over the chaos. When Peter stepped out of the boat, for a moment at least, he walked above the waters. But then he looked at the waves and the wind, and he began to sink. If you're going to tell your soul to trust in King Jesus, this event on Galilee's Sea in Matthew 14 teaches that you must do three things. Number one, look fully to Jesus. If you come here this morning and you feel overwhelmed by the storms of life as if the waters have overwhelmed your head, look fully to Jesus in the midst of your storm. Jesus does great things when we take our eyes off of our circumstances and we fully look to Him. Once and for all, fully look to Him. Stop doubting, Jesus would say, O ye of little faith, and put your faith fully in me. Secondly, let Jesus get in the boat with you. If you notice in this event, the winds and the waves stopped, but they only stopped after Jesus got into the boat. You may come this morning because there is still something in you, despite the fact that all of culture today is telling you to forget about Jesus. There is something still lingering deep inside of you from somewhere that says, I need to remember Him. And so you came on the Sunday before Christmas because something said to you, I need to look to Jesus. Well, I want to say to you this morning, stop pushing Him away. Fully surrender to Him. And let Jesus fully get into the boat of your life. It's only then that you'll be able to weather the storms when you take the King into your boat. Then thirdly, bow your life before Him. When Jesus got in the boat, the Bible says the apostles, they fell before Him and they worshiped Him. And they said, truly, this is the Son of God. There is something about going through immense difficulty in your life when you feel like there is no one else I can turn to and I'm at the end of my rope and I'm at a point of desperation when the storms are threatening to overturn your life, when you fully look to Jesus and finally, once for all, bow before Him and worship Him and realize who He is. There's something about that, that then the peace comes. Some of us are looking for peace, but we've been looking for it in all the wrong places because we have not bowed our lives fully before the King. I want to say to you this morning and leave you with the thought, as you go about your activity with some last-minute Christmas shopping, perhaps, good luck fighting the crowd, or as you assemble together and enjoy your time with your loved ones, as we're reminded that the King of creation descended to this world and became our Savior and our Lord. He invites you to make Him the King of your life. He already is King, but the question is, will your heart recognize Him as such? Will you open your heart and bow your heart fully before King Jesus? Even the water, the waves, and the wind receive the reality of the King. Will you? If we can help you in any way to take steps of faith and walk out to Jesus, I know it's uncertain sometimes if you think, well, I've never taken those steps before. But be sure that the one that stands atop the water is the one that can bring you the peace and the purpose that you've long been looking for. Come and receive Him as your King this morning. If we can help you in obeying Christ and His gospel message, will you come and give your life to Him fully and bow before Him in repentance and baptism, confessing Him to be the King? Or if we can pray with you and for you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing. Hallelujah.